Well, good morning. It's time for Between the Lines. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Between the Lines on WSLR 96.5 in Sarasota, your community station. I'm your host, Gary O. And on this program, we explore in depth news events and topics of interest about Sarasota with news writers and newsmakers in our area. Ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR station management or board of directors. And we'd like to say that Between the Lines is being brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company, which will be presenting three plays this summer between late June and late August at the Jane B. Cook Theater in Sarasota. For details about attending the productions entitled Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, get more information at 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com. Well, some news in the newspaper this morning. Seems like Wednesday morning always has a lot of big news. And besides the oil spill, we got a lot of things going here. Well, a citizens group is trying to stop work on the revisions to Ed Smith Stadium once again. And if this happens, boy, the Orioles will not make the deadline of being able to play spring training in 2011 at Ed Smith. So, folks, whether or not sunshine laws were violated, I think we need to keep this project going to help our community. And if we stuff it up at this point in time by filing more suits and injunctions and all the rest of it, we're not going to be able to play in the new stadium. The Orioles are not going to be able to play there. And it's just going to affect the amount of revenue coming into our community. So I wish the folks that are doing this would let up, please. Downtown, a section of Main Street is closed for construction work. Yes, it's going to be very disruptive down there for about a month because there's a big project going on down on Main Street. Stores and restaurants will remain open, but be prepared for the congestion. And then big news, you know we had Paige St. John of the Herald Tribune on a few weeks ago talking about the property insurance fiasco, and I call it that because she revealed so much to us on the air. Governor Charlie Crist vetoed legislation that property insurers argued they needed to survive, but Governor Crist said was harmful to consumers. And if you have been following this story in the papers, you saw that Paige St. John filed an article a few days ago which indicated that this legislation was improperly influenced by lobbyists. That's right. Some of our legislators went to the lobbyists and asked them for the proper wording in the legislation. Now, isn't that the fox guarding the hen house? One more piece of news, more restaurant problems. Mama Leone's down on the south end of our signal area. Big trouble down there. The owner has got, oh, just a couple million that he owes and apparently can't pay back. So we may see another restaurant going by the boards here. A couple weeks ago it was Sam Seltzer's. A couple weeks before that, New York, New York. Huh, what do you think about that, Bill? Our guest this morning, Bill Welch, a community citizen, a good friend of mine for many years. We're going to talk about retirement. Well, that sounds like a boring subject, doesn't it? But we're going to talk about all aspects of retirement. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Gary. It's nice to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you with us. We've often talked about you appearing on the air here on WSLR, and this morning is the morning. You are a Cornhusker, right?
That's correct. Nebraska, born and bred in Omaha, Nebraska.
And educated, too.
And educated, right? Too. That's right.
You went to the University of Nebraska?
Correct.
And then somehow you escaped that environment. You ended up with another degree. Where else?
I was in Chicago at the time working, and my degree, a master's degree in business administration from DePaul University.
Okay. And you have had a very interesting career. You've been into a lot of different things, many in the same field. Maybe you could summarize very briefly. You've run McDonald's franchises. You've done property management. You work for Procter & Gamble in marketing, correct?
Correct.
I don't think I've covered all of the bases. Maybe you can fill in the gaps.
That's pretty much the activities that I've been involved in. I've done some consulting work, but basically sales, marketing, and then a lot of it related to the food industry.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about retirement this morning, and we are both retired. We are considered senior citizens, but we don't feel like senior citizens, obviously, with all of the things that we do. You are in the church choir. You do Habitat for Humanity. You're into running races for charity, all kinds of things like that. Let's kind of talk about it from the beginning. What brought you to Sarasota?
Well, that's very interesting because it really wasn't something that happened to me that caused it to happen. It was something that happened to my wife.
Hmm.
She had a call from a headhunter. She was working for a health organization in Boston, Massachusetts, where we lived for a few years. And they were rather persistent for quite a few months trying to get her to accept a position down here in Sarasota. And so finally she kind of relented, came down. Of course, we'd been here before. The opportunity presented itself, and she accepted it at my urging because we'd looked all around Florida. We loved the West Coast. It was a matter of where on the West Coast we were going to be. And as fate would have it, we ended up here in Sarasota because of Ruth taking a position here.
Were you retired at that time?
No, I wasn't. I was still doing some site selection work at that particular point, but I was involved with a lot of other things, and the work was there, but I was probably heading towards retirement faster than I realized.
And like so many situations in the last few years, the wife became the breadwinner, and the husband became Mr. Mom.
You are familiar with that, Gary.
Yes, the same thing happened to me because I came down to retire, and my wife decided to go to work full-time. So a very interesting role reversal, but very rewarding. I think you would probably agree, the fact that both of us were able to have careers and experience the joy and the grief of working out there in the world, bringing home a paycheck, and appreciating what one's spouse goes through in the working world, trying to make a living and deal with all of the problems in a working environment.
Yeah, the most important thing, and I tried to teach my kids this, was trying to find work that you really enjoyed. I told them the money would come, but find something you enjoy because you're going to be spending a lot of hours at it. And if you're unhappy, you're going to be an unhappy person. So all the jobs and work that I had, I enjoyed and all of my life, and that really makes a difference.
Well, it does. I would have to say, and I've talked to other people that said, well, you know, I worked for a living. I was always employed. But I was always looking forward to the day when my retirement would come, when I didn't have to do this anymore, when I didn't have to get up early in the morning and catch that plane to go make sales calls or get in the car and display product to somebody or make a presentation. Always, I think, from the beginning of the time I started working, I was always saying, I would really like to be in a nice warm climate where there's a beach nearby. And I've been very fortunate to be able to have my dreams come true. And some people are not able to do that for whatever reason. Either their employment doesn't turn out as they expected, or they have physical problems or other kinds of problems which prevent them from accumulating enough so that they can retire, or things that bind them, such as family members in need and things like that, so they can't move to the place that they want to. So I say both of us are probably very, very blessed.
Very blessed. You know, I lived in cold weather for 58 years.
Oh, yeah.
Nebraska, Illinois, etc., the Northeast. And I often said to my kids, I wish I'd gotten smarter sooner and came down to this beautiful place here in Sarasota. And I do. I count myself as a very blessed person because of that.
Well, I always think I appreciate it more because I had to go through all of those hellish years in that northern climate and dealing with the snow and ice and all of the problems that are incumbent to that area. So I think that we're both very thankful that we are here now. What did you do to prepare to come down here and retire? Or it was a set of circumstances, obviously, but in the back of your mind, you would say you were thinking about retirement. Were you making any preparations beforehand?
There were always, while I worked, I was always involved with other things besides my work. I served on a school board in Illinois. I was involved with various organizations. I always sang in choirs wherever I was. So I had a lot of different interests that went well beyond the work that I did. And, of course, raising a family and all that that entails. But I always had more than just my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's helped me ease into the retirement. I just expanded upon that side of it when the work stopped. And I would urge people to try and do some things while they're working so that when retirement does come, it's not such a shock. You need to retire to something, not from something.
Well, when that day came, did you know what you were going to do with yourself? When you came down here to Sarasota, you and your wife moved in. Did you know what you were going to do, or did you sit there and say, well, here I am, and I guess I'd better figure out what I'm going to do?
No, I never think much about what I'm going to do. It just happens. Things get presented when you meet a group of people, and I get involved right away, no matter where I am, whether it's in church or civic organizations or whatever it is. And through that, those individuals have things they're doing, and some of them introduce you to those things, and that's kind of what happened here. I got involved in playing softball. I got involved in singing in a group through church. I got involved in Habitat for Humanity because I knew somebody that was involved, and it was more of an evolution than, I think I want to do this.
Mm-hmm. I found the same thing. It's really the networking aspect. One thing leads to another. And the biggest blessing for my wife and myself, I think, was the newcomers clubs in the area. We came down here, and I said to my wife, I wonder if there's some newcomers clubs in the area that we can get involved with. She said, I don't know. I haven't heard about any. So I had a little difficulty doing this. It's not like today where you can go on the Internet and punch up newcomers club Sarasota and get the information. I had to do some scratching. And I called around, and I called the Chamber of Commerce, and they said, well, let's see. You can call this lady over here. I think she runs something. And I had to really track it down, and I found out that there were three newcomers clubs or organizations in the community, and they're all for women. They're not for men. They're all for women. I figured, well, what's this all about? Why are they for women? What do the men do? Well, the key is that the women get involved and the men get drawn in and meet other men, and so you have the opportunity to do your networking that way. So my wife and I joined something called the Welcome Club, and we also joined another one called the Newcomers Club of Sarasota. And for those of you listening and wondering about this, you can go to websites, and if you would just want to Google it, type in Newcomers Club Sarasota, and you'll find information in there. Or you can go to the websites, and I think it's pretty obvious what the websites will be. It's probably Newcomers Club Sarasota.com or something like that. But anyway, with our use of keywords on the Internet nowadays, you can get this information. And I think all of the clubs now have very, very vibrant websites where you can get a lot of information, shows all the activities, pictures of people, smiling people, having a great time, you know, the old routine. But really, it's a wonderful experience because it pulls you into meeting other people who are just coming here initially, and those are the people that you want to get involved with because they're just as green at it as you are. You come into a community, you don't know anybody, you don't know where to go, and all of the activities involved. They have, you know, cocktail parties and dances and outings and boat trips and things like that. So you get drawn into these things. You meet a lot of other people, and I have found, I think you have too, Bill, that the people that you met when you first came down here have become your new lifelong friends.
Absolutely. And Ruth, after she stopped working, got strongly involved in Welcome Club and Newcomers, And then there's a couple of other clubs, Encore and Alums, and she's been president of a couple of
now
those clubs.
Those are for graduates of the beginning clubs.
Beginning clubs, right, exactly. You kind of go from one to the other.
You graduate from the beginning clubs because the new people keep coming in, and the older people, pretty well established, then they graduate to Encore and Alums, these graduate versions of the same thing, and they have the same kinds of activities,
sure.
But it's really for the people that have been here a while.
Yeah, they have luncheons, they have all kinds of groups that get together, just about anything that the ladies would want to do, and I strongly urge people that are new to Sarasota and to investigate this, because it is an opportunity to meet new people, and then there's a few things that are offshoots from that for the men, much like the men's luncheon that we're involved in, where men can come and also enjoy the social aspects of friends.
Well, we are talking with Bill Welch on Between the Lines on WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota, your community station. If you would like to call in, our telephone number is 355-4540. If you have any questions for either of us, really, about retirement or anything that Bill's done in his career or that I've done in my career, this is WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. The program is Between the Lines, and we're talking with Bill Welch, a Sarasota community citizen who has had a very interesting career and a very interesting retirement. Bill, welcome back to the microphone, and let's go on talking about activities in the Sarasota area. The Senior Friendship Center is available to a lot of citizens in their upper years. And I don't know, upper years to some people means 42, I guess, but really for a lot of the older folks in the community who've lost a spouse or need things to do, there are a lot of activities over there, and they have a website you can go to. It's located on Brother Geenan Way, just off Route 41. Really a marvelous activity. I know when my mother-in-law was alive, she spent a lot of time over there helping out and participating. And they also have a volunteer center over there. So if you are lacking for things to do, just get involved with the Friendship Center and ask about volunteer activities, and they have a whole slew of things that you can get involved in. I know when my wife and I first came here, she got involved in the recycling program, and she'd go out and make presentations to people about how to properly recycle. And she helped out at the Newtown Children's Center, and she did a variety of things until the opportunity came for her to find full-time work. There are all kinds of things available, and this is a wonderful community where we always have people in need and things to be done. And you, too, can get involved. I mean, I've known a lot of people that have gotten involved in Meals on Wheels. And, you know, some people make jokes about a lot of these older activities, but they're really vital to the vibrancy of the community. People cannot make their own meals or get out of the house. And you just get in on the volunteer track and go out and help doing these things. It's very fulfilling, isn't it, Bill?
It is, and there are so many things that people can do. You know, I look upon it as a win-win situation. It's good for the event and whatever you're involved with on the other end, but you get a great deal back, too. We know when you retire and get older, you really need to stay physically and mentally active. You need to surround yourself with a group of people so you have a social life, and you also have to do things that continue to maintain your health. You may have some problems, you may have some issues, but many of them are overcome if you're able to go out. Even if you're able to maybe just do some swimming or some walking, you need to stay active. I heard an old expression many years ago, and you did too probably, if you rest, you rust.
And yeah, that's a good one.
And you got to keep the rust off. So you need to stay physically active and mentally active, and you have to have a reason to get up in the morning. And if you don't have a reason to get up in the morning, you're probably not going to get up in the morning, and that becomes a bad habit as you age. You have to stay with the program. So you and I both have things that get us up every morning, and that's absolutely critical. One of the things that as you've mentioned, is that, and I'm very big into this, is giving back. If everybody just did one thing in a volunteer way in their community for some organization or for somebody, what an absolutely incredible place this would be. There are a lot of people that do it, but we need more people that accept this aspect, that they've been blessed, and that as they age and have the opportunity in retirement, that they can give back to someone else.
Well, we talked about giving back, but to me, I always felt that I had an obligation to give back once I retired, because I had been so fortunate in my life to be able to retire and to have good physical health. With that in mind, I said, I owe not just the community, but I owe the world something back. And there was and I've forgotten who said this, but I once quoted it, and I remember it from a grade school teacher I had. Be afraid to die until you have contributed something to humanity. And those words have stuck with me since the sixth or seventh grade. A really wonderful lesson for all of us. If we are so fortunate as to make it to this point in time, then we need to give back to other people who are not so fortunate.
Absolutely, and I think that's a legacy that we can leave. You know, you don't have to have a building named after you or a street or something like that, but you certainly can have some activity or some way that you've touched somebody in your journey.
Well, you know, you have a grape juice named after you, right?
I wish I was part of that family, but it's the other Welch branch.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right.
But there's just a lot of things you can do. You know, one thing that I did when I came down here, and I just kind of fell into it, was I got involved as a substitute teacher here in the Sarasota school system. And everybody always asked me, well, did you ever teach school before? And, of course, I did not. I was in business all my life. And they said, well, why did you get involved in that? And I said, well, it was a form of giving back. And, you know, one of our great resources are our young people. We need to nurture them. We need to be there and hopefully be able to instruct them so that they will turn out to be good citizens as well.
Now, how did you get involved in teaching? You're a substitute teacher a couple days a week, kind of at your choosing, right?
Exactly. You have a choice as to when you go in or whether you don't go in. So periodically, I go in. I like to teach in the younger grades. That seems to be the area that I enjoy, you know, the elementary school. And you go through a program. You take some courses that are involved with managing a classroom and things of this nature here in the Sarasota area, and then as long as you have a bachelor's degree, you can be a substitute teacher. We've got a great school system here in Sarasota. It's one that does require a bachelor's degree in order to be just a substitute teacher. Even there's some places in the country where you don't need a bachelor's degree to be involved with substitute teaching. So,
well, I suppose there's some places that just need babysitters when the regular teachers are out.
Yeah.
So they'll take anybody they can get that can just hold the class together. Is
yeah,
that right?
And I never looked upon my responsibility when I go into a classroom. You know, substitute teachers, often it's a joke in the kids. We've all had substitute teachers when we were in school, and we used to say, oh yeah, here comes a substitute teacher. Sometimes we'd change chairs and sit in a different desk and so on. You know, I looked upon it as being an extension of the regular teacher when he or she couldn't be there, and I wanted to give my very best that day to those students.
How do you keep discipline when you're dealing with a bunch of strange kids? I mean, when I was in grammar school, but particularly in high school, and a substitute teacher would come in, that was open warfare. I mean, immediately everybody's eyes lit up because they knew that here was an opportunity to have a little fun.
That's true. The thing about it that's interesting is, first of all, I'm a man, and when you start talking about some of the schools and some of the teachers, you don't have as many men teaching in the schools. And And I'm also a fairly big guy. I'm over 6 foot one. And so, you know, just the presence can be a little bit intimidating, not so much to high school or middle school kids, but certainly to the elementary school kids. They look at you with, I think, some respect. But hopefully, you know, you earn the respect. You come in and you treat people with respect, and hopefully you'll get that back.
I have a question for you, something that has bothered me for a long time, and it really goes back to my school background. When I was in grammar school, you didn't step out of line. You didn't push kids down the stairs when you're marching out of school. And we marched out of school. We didn't waltz out of school like they do today. And I remember another kid and I were in a assembly hall, and it was dark in there, and they were showing a movie or something. We were shooting rubber bands at other kids in the dark. And afterwards, two teachers grabbed us, set us up against the wall, and put their nose to ours and basically said, "Are you going to be a clown all your life? Does this feel good?" And they took rubber bands and shot them on our skin and basically humiliated us to the point where we knew we were never going to do this again, because, first of all, we were humiliated, but second of all, they showed their authority. Teachers today can't do that in the schools, and that's my feeling why kids can't learn today. If they can't be in an atmosphere where there is control by the teachers, if they can't be kept in line, if they can't walk home from school without being intimidated by gangs, how are they going to learn? And I think this prompts a lot of kids to drop out, because they go into a classroom, people are throwing paper airplanes around, shouting obscenities. How can you learn in that kind of environment?
Well, you know, there are always going to be discipline problems, and it depends on how you deal with them. Granted, things have changed a great deal. We have certain things that you cannot do that many years ago, much like putting your hands on a child, things of this nature, you just cannot do. So what you have to do is use your head and your brain and discuss these things in a hopefully logical way, and try and get the young person to understand. Discipline is a real important part of what has to happen, and there are some places where discipline has broken down in our school system, sadly, and it's affected the educational process. We have to have discipline, you have to have organization, if you're going to have a good learning environment.
I would like to see the pendulum swing back the other way, but I'm afraid it's not going to happen. But the things I read about in the papers going on in our schools, the drugs, the bullying, the freedom that the kids have to do whatever they want in the school environment, all of this is very bothersome to me, and I would like to see it change. But I don't think that there is the strength in numbers out there to demand that change go back the other way. And
no.
Part of it is this business about freedom to do whatever you want. And to me, freedom to do whatever you want was always as long as you don't harm somebody else. But other people have pushed the envelope on that. Freedom to do what you want means you can't tell me what to do, you can't touch me, you can't do this, you can't do that, or I'll sue you.
Good.
And unfortunately, this has affected, I think, the performance of our schools. They're all talking about the FCAT. They're all talking about the performance in the classroom. Has anybody gotten down to the real roots of discipline and keeping people in line so that there is a proper atmosphere to learn?
Well, I do think we're very blessed to be here in Sarasota. I am just, every time I go to a school, I'm very impressed by what we do here in this school system. And I think everyone that's here should be very grateful that they're in the school system that we have. There are other places in the country where things are not nearly as good as the school system that we have here in Sarasota. When I go into the classroom and I see the work that the teachers do and the dedication that they show, I'm very, very blessed to be a part, just a very, very small part of this particular system.
We'd like to say that coming up at 10 o'clock after Between the Lines leaves the air, Lael is coming in with Focus on Fabulous Foods. She's just come into the studio. Lael, I'm glad that you're here. Why don't you sit down at that microphone over there and tell us what you've got cooking, to be very punny, for the program coming up at 10 o'clock.
Good morning. It's great to hear about all the wonderful things you can do to give back to the community. And, of course, you can always give to the community gardens and also to this radio station. We are a volunteer radio station. At 10 o'clock, I am going to have Maggie Glucklick from the restaurant Veg on, and we're going to be talking about a vegetarian restaurant as well, as they do serve fish and gluten-free items. So all of that coming up at 10.
Thank you, Lael. And for those of you listening to Between the Lines, stay tuned, because we have good programming coming up, not only Lael, but also Liner Notes coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. A couple of public service announcements. The Lake Osprey Trail, June 5th, 12:30 to 2 p.m. at Oscar Shearer Park. Opening the new ADA-compliant Lake Osprey Trail in conjunction with National Trails Day. This accessible trail accommodates those of all abilities, people in wheelchairs, families with strollers, and guests of all ages. Free. That's right, free. For more information, call 483-5956 or email russell.delaney, D-E-L-A-N-E-Y, at l-3com.com. And another thing of interest here. For you gun aficionados or people that are concerned about being trained on guns, on June 5th, also on June 5th, 8 a.m. at the American Hotel Conference Room on Fruitville Road, a course taught by local NRA-certified instructors covers gun handling, safety, and shooting, and meets the Florida training requirements for concealed carry permit applicants. For details, call 706-4358 or visit website www.ftisarasota.com. It's 9:36 in the morning. You're listening to WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota, and this is Between the Lines. We're talking with our good friend and Sarasota citizen, Bill Welch. And we're talking about retirement this morning. We've talked about Bill's background and how he got into some of the activities that he is in and I am in, and some that I am not in. Bill, I'm going to ask you about some of the other things you do, because you don't just teach school a couple days a week as a substitute, but you also run in a lot of charity events, and that is a non-work type activity.
That's correct. That's it's a very interesting thing, because it, again, is a give back, but it's also something that is enjoyable. It's also something that keeps me healthy.
We have a phone caller here. I'm going to put him on.
Mm-hmm.
This is WSLR, and you're on the air.
Good morning, Gary. This is Joe Hendricks.
Hi, Joe Hendricks.
Good morning to your guest as well. I'm enjoying your conversation. I have a couple questions for you.
Well, Joe, you're not ready for retirement yet, so this is a little premature.
That is one of the things I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'm 48 years old. I'm certainly fortunate to be spending a lot of my time at WSLR through the AmeriCorps VISTA program. I'm going to do that for another year. So I'll be 49 when that ends. And I've spent most of my life either playing music. In the 2000s, I spent some 5-6 years working at a newspaper, being a reporter, and now I've worked my...
Hello, did we lose him? Perhaps he's on a cell phone. I will disconnect and let him call back here. And we'll give him a minute to come back with us, Bill, here. I guess I kind of interrupted what you were saying, so I'm sorry. And we'll pick up on that as soon as we get Joe's comments in here. I think the line is ringing again. And Joe, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. We got cut off. I was going to say, I'll be 49 when I get done with my VISTA gig at WSLR. That'll be August of 2011. I hope to maybe continue in radio, maybe get a news job somewhere, some other community radio station, or at WSLR if we expand, whatever. But my fiance Amy always teases me, because while I hear a lot of my friends talk about retirement and look forward to that day when they retire, I can't imagine retiring. I wouldn't know what to do with myself, and I spent a lot of my early years doing jobs I didn't like, cooking, waiting tables. So I feel like in my 40s, I've really finally hit my stride. I've been fortunate I could play music. My jobs have been kind of fun. They've been low paying, but they've been jobs that mean a lot to me. And I wonder if there's folks out there that I just can't imagine myself ever retiring. I feel like I would be bored, and I wouldn't know what my purpose would be if I didn't have a job to focus on.
Well, Joe,
have you guys ever felt like that? Or
I haven't, but I've met people that have. And Bill and I both play senior softball. And earlier this winter, I went out there, and there was a new fella out there, and I introduced myself to him. And he says, I'm out here because I don't know what to do with myself. My wife told me to get out of the house. We just moved here, and she found out about this softball thing. I haven't played softball for years, so I decided to come out here. And he says, I guess I'm going to come out and play pretty much every day because I don't have anything else to do. Well, there are a lot of people, I think, that are faced with that problem. They move here, and just as we talked about very early in the program, they don't have a clue as to what they're going to do. Now, in my case, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I would get involved in things and do a lot of things, and I think that was true of Bill, too. He said, I'm an outgoing guy. I come to a new community. I'm not just going to sit in front of the TV and be a couch potato and feel sorry for myself. I'm going to get out and meet people and get involved in things, and then by networking, you meet the other people. It's the personality that's very important here. Now, you may say, well, I haven't accumulated enough money to retire. Well, maybe you will by
that
when that point.
That is the case as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people in their 30s and 40s are struggling with that today because the lack of jobs is creating a limited environment for accumulating wealth. We don't know where the stock market is going, and you should never count on the stock market anyway. I think that the key is personal savings, always setting something aside, not just for the rainy day, but for long term, because you may need it to retire on. But what are you going to do? You can't see an end to this. Do you want there to be an end to this, or are you so active that you don't care about true retirement? You just care about a kind of a pseudo-retirement, and that is you'll always be reporting for the newspaper, involved with the radio station, getting paid for your music gigs and things like that, but you wouldn't want to sit at home and be a couch potato.
Yeah, I think that ties into what Bill said real early in the show, that you should spend your life doing things you love, and I've been fortunate to do that with some hard New Years in between doing things I didn't love. So that's why I can't really imagine retiring. I mean, I like sitting around reading. I guess retirement to me would be maybe writing a novel or something. How old were you guys when you retired?
I was 58 years old when I retired, and I was very fortunate to be able to do that. And, you know, to move to your point, there's nothing wrong with continuing to work if that's something that you want to do. And you can do it either full-time or you can do it part-time. And some people have to do it part-time for necessity. And that's okay. I guess the main thing that I would emphasize is that you've got to have a balance in your life. You've got to have things that are enjoyable. It may be just a few hours a week, but you've got to have things that provide a balance in your life, and that you're not just one way oriented. And if the only thing a person does is work and nothing else, and then they retire at age 65, let's say, they have absolutely built up nothing of interest besides their work. And then when work is gone, there's nothing left. They have a very difficult time adjusting to retirement.
And you asked about my age. I was 55 when I started retiring, and I fully retired at 59. And what happened was I had a business for the last 20 years I was working, and I had some fellows that I brought in who were much younger than me, and I made a good choice. I picked people that stayed with me many, many years, and they approached me and they said, what are you going to do when you retire and with this business? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. And they said, we would like to take over this business. So I set up a plan with them, and it was a phased-out plan, starting at 55 and ending at 59, where I did less each year, and they did more each year, and they took more money out each year, but they learned the business. So it was like handing off a baton when I retired. If you can envision a race where It's a tag team race and a relay race. And the first guy goes around the turn and heads for the finish line, and he's going to hand that baton off to the next guy. That's exactly what happened with my situation. So I planned for this in advance. We planned for it in advance, worked it out, and over 4 years, I very nicely eased into retirement. And also, I moved down here before I fully retired and got more acquainted with the community, built a house, and went through all of that. So it was a big transition in my life, but it was something that I planned for and anticipated. And I'm the kind of guy that plans a lot in advance, so I was thinking about this many years before because I was very sick of the cold, to tell you the truth, Joe. In your situation, you're looking at things very differently, and it could be maybe you will work part-time for the rest of your life. Maybe music is so much a part of your life that you will blend in your career with music, and then when it's time for you to ease back on your newspaper writing, your radio station work, or whatever else you get into, music will be your retirement activity, because I know you play in bands and you do a lot of gigs around town and things like that.
That sounds like a plan, a working retirement, I guess I'm setting myself up for. Well, I appreciate your time, gentlemen. Keep up the good work, and we'll see you on the radio.
Thanks so much for calling in.
We were talking about running before the call, and I just wanted to mention the fact that, you know, I've been running and started when I was up in Boston because a friend that I played tennis with was running, and he got me involved, and I really wasn't too hot to the idea initially, but I gradually got involved, and then when I came down here, I continued, and I run 5Ks almost every weekend all year long, sometimes 10Ks, sometimes further, and every one of them has a charity behind it of some sort that our entry fees go to. And we ran out at Oak Park School last Saturday. We had almost 900 runners out there, and it was called Sammy's Run.
Oh, yeah, I saw the article in the paper.
And we raised money for a very difficult illness that Sammy has, and it's a chromosomal disease, and it's extremely difficult what he's going through. And, of course, Oak Park School, another school here in Sarasota that does a great job. Those teachers out there are wonderful. But I often go every weekend, Saturday morning, to Tampa. Most of my runs are up north in Tampa because that's where the majority of them are. Some of them are here in Sarasota. But all of them are for charity. So we get a chance to raise money for that. I get a chance to keep myself in good shape. I've built a whole network of friends around running. So I have a whole network of friends around everything that I do. And, you know, one of the runs we run every year is up in St. Petersburg. It's the Susan Komen Breast Cancer Run. We have thousands of runners. We've raised millions of dollars to help with breast cancer research. And I just heard the other day that there are Cleveland Clinic's working on a possible vaccine that can deal with breast cancer. And wouldn't that be incredible that maybe we've made a breakthrough here? So all of this is it's giving back, but it's also a wonderful thing for me as well.
Of course, the snacks at the end of the race aren't too bad either, right?
They're awful good.
When I first met Bill, it was at a big, it was a Welcome Club picnic or something, and he was telling me about himself, and he had this big plate of food in front of him, and he says, "One thing about me, I like to eat," and that has proven itself to be true over the years. So this is one way that you keep your weight under control.
Yeah, that, and of course, playing softball, getting out there right. Once a week and playing softball, and getting involved with that, and of course with Habitat for Humanity, working as a volunteer there, just a lot of things that help.
Well, let's talk about some of this. Now, the Habitat folks are going to be on this program next week, so we're going to get the scoop on that. But let's talk about, if I want to get involved in running, who would I contact?
The main thing that you need to do, that you can just go on a website, it's called Race Smith, RACESMITH, H, Race Smith. And you can look at all the races that are being held in the area, up in Tampa, down here in Sarasota. You know, we have some runs on Siesta Key Beach and so on. And you can look up each week. They're posted there.
Now, do you have to register in advance?
You can. I urge you to register in advance. It makes life easier. Most of the races, you can register the day of the race, the morning of the race. These races are run early in the morning, generally at 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Tell us about the Senior Softball Association, how you got involved with that, because I got involved with that after you did. Let's get a little pitch for them, because this is for seniors that are 60 and older, and has really proved to be a wonderful thing as far as not only keeping fit but making a lot of new friends. So why don't you give a little description of that?
Yeah, it was an embryonic thing around 1994-95, and a friend of mine in the same subdivision where I live says, you know, we're playing softball, why don't you come out and play? So I did, and he got hurt the first day, so he never came back.
That's always a problem, that people haven't played softball in 30, 40 years come out and try to be a kid again.
Right, and we only had a small number of people at that time, and I got involved with a number of individuals there. We formed an association. We have bylaws. We've got all kinds of rules, and we've built the organization now to where we have over 250 ball players that play in the wintertime from November through March, and then we have a summer season that starts in May and runs into September with a break in August, and we play slow pitch senior softball, and it's absolutely a wonderful thing to do if you're at all interested. If you're over 60, and then a few years ago we started an over 70s league, which I now participate in. So there's opportunities out there if you love to play slow pitch softball. And again, what else is it? It's a group of people that's a social group as well. So another opportunity to socialize.
Why don't you give the website address for the softball
right, association? Right, it's Sarasota Senior Softball Association.com. And you can actually just type in Sarasota Senior Softball, Google it, and you'll be able to get through.
Another thing that I think is a great thing for people to do is to join a church or a religious group when you come into a new community. Now, I hadn't been to church since I went to Sunday school years and years and years ago. When I came to Sarasota, I said, I think I'd want to look into joining a church, because that's a way that I can meet a lot of people and possibly get into some giving back activities. That happened to me. I joined Presbyterian Church here. I got involved in mission work with something called the Kalish House, which is a boys' shelter. And I did that for 10 years before some changes were made in the foster care system, and the Kalish House was eliminated as a boys' shelter. But I planned events and worked with the kids, and we do a big event every month, and it takes a lot of preparation. Like anything else, you say, oh, that's easy. You get involved, and you're doing all the paperwork and communications and setting up the events and buying tickets and all the rest of it. But after all of this, very gratifying to know that I helped some kids that were in need and was able to give back, one of the giving back things that I could do as an individual.
Absolutely, and you know, there are so many opportunities for that in this town and anywhere else that you are. You just have to look them up and search them out, and you have to set your mind that that's going to be part of your life. That's going to be something that you are going to do. And you know, I always think, like when we're building houses for Habitat for Humanity, what we're doing for the people. But when you're there and when you're working there, and you know this because you've been out too, Gary, you get so much back.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, in addition to learning a few things about the construction of houses, I mean, you get dirty. Yes, you really get dirty. I mean, stuffing insulation into walls and up on the roof. Many times we were up on the roof in the summer heat together putting shingles on a Habitat house over in Jordan's Crossing, which is now completed, by the way. But a lot lot of camaraderie up there and a lot of fun and meeting new people. Very worthwhile experience.
Another social group again, you know.
That's right.
I have a bunch of friends that work there, and I've been involved now, I think, in over 200 homes. We've built almost 200 homes here in Sarasota, and I've had an opportunity to go work on a couple of projects out of town where we do blitz builds. We actually build 100 homes in 1 week. That's another story, but it's absolutely an incredible thing.
Another thing that we all seem to get dragged into is serving on boards, whether it's your homeowners association or with various activities you're involved in. You participate in an activity, and sooner or later somebody says, we'd like you to be on the board. If you've shown some interest and something in that direction, then they come to you and they say, you really should be on our board and help make decisions. Well, those of us who have worked in business in our lives say, oh, geez, more politics. But it's very rewarding to get involved, to serve on a board, and help other people in that fashion.
Right. I was involved with my homeowners association when we first started the subdivision. And, there's a great joy that comes from it. I must say, there are days when you say to yourself, this person's not happy, this person's not happy, and you try and deal with these issues as best you can, and you move through it. But the work needs to be done, and you do it for a while, and then you move on.
And Lael is coming up here in 5 minutes with Focus on Fabulous Foods, and her guest is in the studio, so be sure and stay tuned for that. We're talking with Bill Welch, Sarasota citizen, who is chatting with me about retirement, and we're going all the way until 10 o'clock this morning on WSLR, your community radio station. Well, let's throw out a few other ideas here. There's a computer club in town, and I got involved with that many years ago. I've learned a lot about computers, and you can also volunteer to be on their board if you want to, but if not, you may want to sharpen up your skills on computers. That's called SPCUG. SPUG, they nickname it, Sarasota PC Users Group, and you can find a website for them at spug.org. Also, arts groups, all of the arts groups in town need help from time to time. We know a lot of people are volunteering at the Players, and I get involved with the Banyan Theater, which is underwriting our program this quarter. And you've probably been involved with the arts, too. Of course, I know you're a real ham. You'd like to get on stage. So in addition to singing in the church choir and acting in plays and things like that, I think you've probably gotten more in depth with the arts, correct?
Yeah, it goes back a long ways. I've always loved, as you say, being a ham on stage. I started out high school musicals, college musicals, and did some things thereafter, and now I sing in a contemporary worship service, and I love singing. It's a part of my life. It's a joy of my life, and it's a wonderful thing to do. If you've got that talent, step up, join the choir, get involved, and do some of the things locally here. There's lots of opportunities available.
Well, Bill, I think we've kind of concluded here, and we could talk for hours about a lot of the things we're into and a lot of the things that are available to people when they retire, but I think keep active, as you said, mentally and physically, and you will live a lot longer and have a much more joyous life. I think there are friendships to be made. You'll have better health because of it, but there's this personal gratification aspect. To be able to get up every day with something to do, and in many cases, doing something for others, there's a feeling of satisfaction. So even though you're no longer among the working force out there, collecting a paycheck, which has its own satisfaction, you are getting gratification from being a part of your community and doing things in your community.
Amen. And I really believe that's what it's all about. It's so important. We didn't even talk about travel. You know, one of my favorite places to go is Hawaii. I've been there many times. You know, you never see me without an Aloha Hawaiian shirt on. And, another thing for people to do when they retire, it gives them an opportunity for a longer period of time so that they can travel and they can go and see the places around the world that maybe they've just read about or seen on television. So, don't discount that as a wonderful, joyous thing, too, to do, to be active as a part of your retirement.
Bill, it's been a real pleasure having you on the program. I wanted to do this for a long time, and we finally got the opportunity this morning. Bill Welch, a retired citizen of Sarasota who is into all kinds of things, as I am, giving you a little bit of insight into retirement and some ideas possibly you want to take up when you approach that golden day when you are able to hang up your spikes. This is WSLR, and ideas expressed on this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. Between the Lines has been underwritten by the Banyan Theater Company, presenting three plays, Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, this summer at the Jane B. Cook Theater at the FSU Center for Performing Arts in Sarasota. More information regarding the plays is available at 941-358-5330. Or the website www.banyantheatercompany.com.